Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
I hate when my feet wet. Me too. That guy's on to something.
Yes, he is. Nick Shepkowski in for Mac. It's Mac and Parkins on President's Day. Thanks for coming out of the bullpen today, buddy.
Oh, no worries. I'm like the Score's version of who? Mike Montgomery, spot start here. Need you to come out of the pen today. Long relief there. Need you to start a couple days later. It's what I'm here for.
It's great. It's a good role.
I just need to, you know, get the last out or record the last out of a World Series. I still need to add that to the resume.
To be a legend.
Sure.
Yeah, to be remembered forever. So,
but maybe the Bill Shatner interview, that'll be legendary status coming up later today.
I don't know. Maybe. It's going to be something. We'll play it in about 2 hours. You got an interesting day, though. You're one till when? You're on just all day?
Well, I'm with you until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we'll be on, I believe, until 6:30 or 6:45 before Illini basketball against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Then following that contest, I'll be here until 11 o'clock when Les Grobstein will come in an hour early to spell me later
on.
Look
at you.
So there we go.
That's a marathon day.
It's all right.
I did the national show last night and back today, and then on Wednesday, it's my marathon day with Les, and Les came in last night. Les heard my segment on Michael Jordan that aired on these parts, and he came in during a commercial break, and he corrected me.
Uh-oh. What'd you get wrong?
I don't think I got anything wrong. I said, you know, he played for the Birmingham Barons, and then I saw him at Wrigley Field. But I might have said he played at Wrigley Field on the Barons, but he had been called up for that exhibition game as a member of the White Sox. And so he came into the studio to say that he was a member of the White Sox, not the Barons, in that game, which I did not think was an important correction, but hey.
I think Les was just looking for a reason to talk to you. He's looking for an excuse to come in and wanting to talk to you, because he probably knew you were right, but hey, this will break the ice with Danny in the middle of his national show tonight.
It was beautiful. He goes, and on Wednesday, I don't want to do the whole show on Kaepernick. I was like, that's okay. I don't plan to do the whole show on Kaepernick.
And for that, you suck, or is it bum of the week? Which one is Wednesday night? Nominations coming in.
And for that, you suck. I mean, I didn't lead the show last night with Kaepernick, so maybe that's what prompted him to do that. But I was like, no, we don't even have to mention Kaepernick on Wednesday at 2:30 in the morning.
So have there been meetings? Have there been show meetings about that? Producers gotten a hold of you? You need overnight guests? What's going on?
No,
12 to 5 Wednesday night.
He said, just come on in. No planning, and we'll just do a show.
Okay.
We're gonna just have a 5-hour conversation.
All right.
Wednesday midnight to Thursday morning, 5 a.m.
Okay.
I will
be tuning in for parts of this. Not the entire thing, obviously, because it's the overnight hours. But if I'm still up at midnight, I will definitely be turning on to listen to the start of this.
That would be fantastic. I'm hopeful that maybe we can do a morning transition with Mully and Hall.
Now that would be a blast.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just willing to, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. We'll see what happens. But I think I'm going to log like 35 hours of radio this week.
Well, because usually it's what, 25 or 29? 25 here. Four more for your national show.
Yeah, and then there'll be an additional 5.
34 hours.
Yeah, and then, you know, taking it up until the national show on next Sunday. So it'll be fun, but I'm looking forward to it. And I broke the news to Steph last night over dinner. I was like,
hey, how did she take that?
She was like, why do you do this? Why don't you ever win any of your bets? She just ridicules me. She's like, this is your job. You're supposed to be good.
Well, she listens to the show, right? Like, she's familiar with the show. I thought she was.
Yeah.
She knows how we don't reward winning. We just celebrate not losing, right?
That's right.
You just don't lose. That's the entire goal, okay? I don't know, winning a bet just simply means you don't have to pay off the dirty deed.
That you don't lose the bet, exactly. Now, I explained that to her, and she's like, well, then you couldn't have gotten second place? She's like, you literally came in last? I'm like, yeah, I came in last, so I've got to do this. And so this is This is where we will be going, and I hope everyone keeps me company Wednesday night with the Grobber. Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Let's hear Tom Ricketts on the money quote about money. We were recording with Bill Shatner at the time that they got to this in the press conference, and it certainly is going to make some waves when you figure they've got the third highest payroll in baseball, but he also says this about their budget.
You want to be the best organization in the game. There's a lot of high-profile free agents still out there. A lot of fans wondering why more money wasn't invested in adding to the team.
Yeah, Matt, that's that's a pretty easy question to answer. We don't have any more. The fact is that, we've been in the top five in spending in baseball spend for the last 5 or 6 years. We're in the top couple in spending last year. We've put our money back on the field. Unfortunately, you just can't have a high profile free agent every single year. And part of that is the how much it costs. I mean, whatever the $25, $30 million is going to cost. Plus, it's a 10-year commitment. And you got to pay those dollars. So, we like the team we have. We made the bets we have over the last few years. I think that we're well positioned to win the division again. And as much as I would love to have a great, new, exciting player every single season, it just can't happen every year.
Does the part that you have to pay Bryant and Baez and Rizzo eventually huge contracts if you're going to keep them, is that a part of the projection that you and Theo and the baseball department talk about?
Yeah, there's two things in there, and I think that maybe like the baseball people in the room understand, but maybe a lot of fans don't. I mean, as those players get through arbitration, they're getting pretty substantial raises. So this offseason, although Chris Bryant and Javi Baez aren't new players, they got a pretty substantial raises going into this season. On top of that, we signed Cole Hamels, so it doesn't feel like necessarily like a free agent because we picked up a contract that was our option. But I mean, those contracts put us well above what we've ever spent before. So that's one point. Like our baseball spend is higher than it's ever been. It's 50% more than it was just 6 or 7 years ago. And part of it is because of the players as they mature, they get more money. But your second part of the question is really on point too. We have to have the financial flexibility to keep the players we want to keep for the long run. And we could sign a bunch of new players, try to get a couple new players this year, but you can't spend that same dollar twice. You have to be able to project out and look for flexibility in the future. But like I said, it's not all about money. I mean, the fact is that, it really comes down to, do you have the right guys and can they stay healthy and get through the season? And I think we do have the right guys.
So that's Tom Ricketts. The beginning of that, Tanny, can you just play the beginning of it and you can stop it after the nervous laughter? Because it sounded like the Cubs media wasn't sure if he was joking.
You want to be the best organization in the game. There's a lot of high-profile free agents still out there. A lot of fans wondering why more money wasn't invested in adding to the team.
Yeah, Matt, that's a pretty easy question to answer. We don't have any more. The fact is that,
Like, they're like, we know that's not true. Are you serious?
All right, surprised by it and didn't expect that to be the answer that's coming back. Like, my question immediately upon hearing that is, did you know this a year ago? Did you know that pursuing as much as you did, you Darvish and landing him and landing Tyler Chatwood's deal, did you know that that was going to prevent you from then being a player in this huge year of free agency? You've been a player for years and years now. Did you know that was going to eliminate you from ever having a chance at Bryce Harper, ever having a chance at Manny Machado? And I have trouble believing that Theo Epstein would have signed off on, yep, Darvish and Chatwood are the plan. Give ourselves no chance whatsoever at Machado and Harper or the like.
The only thing that shoots a hole in that logic is, since the pitching fell apart, they then also needed to add Hamels.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamels is $20 million for this year, too. So it was not only the 13 per for Chatwood, not only the 20 plus for Darvish, but then also another 20 for Hamels for one more year.
Yeah, putting that on top of it. But it's just, I don't know, because it still would have been a team that would be looking to then add at the deadline, whether it was Hamels, whether it was whatever it could have been. Now you could acquire an expiring contract and not be on the books for it for 2019, but just with the addition of those two simply, I have trouble believing that this was the plan all along. It feels like this is something that's kind of come to be in the last few months.
Yeah, but I don't think that anything has really changed with the Cubs' finances, right? They're third in payroll. Mm-hmm. He says there's no more money in the baseball budget. He's not saying they're broke. They're not passing around the hat, you know, for the Ricketts family. What I think is a worthwhile question also is, do you want to re-sign Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, Kyle Hendricks, the names that Bruce posited? Like, if I was going to ask Cubs fans right now, would you rather save money so that you have a better shot at re-signing your own free agents after 2021, or would you rather bring in Bryce Harper now to try to maximize 2019, 2020, 2021. And then after 2021, maybe you don't re-sign Chris Bryant, but you have Bryce Harper instead. Because I'm honestly not that interested in signing a couple of those guys to long-term deals. I'm okay if Wilson Contreras plays out his contract and then isn't a Cub again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay for a catcher into his 30s, especially one who isn't the most prolific defensive catcher.
I mean, how many guys in baseball do you want to pay into their 30s, though? And look at the Red Sox model, the Red Sox example of what they've already done. When they let Johnny Damon, World Series hero, oh my God, legend in Boston, you can't possibly let him get away. What, a year later, 2 years later, he's playing for the New York Yankees after he was the hero in Game 7 of the comeback series against the Yankees. Jacoby Ellsbury signing with the Yankees, letting one of their homegrown top-tier guys get away. Oh, that's unheard of. You can't let him. He's one of the faces of the franchise. They were okay with it. The Red Sox did just fine without him.
Well, I mean, Chris Bryant right now is 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's older than Bryce Harper.
Right.
Is right now. And Bryce Harper's a free agent. And Harper and Bryant's still, what, 2 years away from free agency?
Three more seasons of control for him.
So
I mean, you're looking at a guy that'll be 30 when he hits free agency. Like, that's from what baseball has flat out told you, they're not interested in signing, at least not in any hurry, to sign the 26-year-old megastars to 10-year deals. What do you think Chris Bryant's going to be looking for? He's going to be looking for a major payday and not going to settle, I wouldn't, at least for him, because of how he was treated and how that was handled his first year of the extra year club control. I wouldn't settle for a dime less than what you think that you're worth, and if then not include a hometown discount or any of that.
Well, and we got labor negotiations that could come up and change the landscape between now and then. And you don't know how is Hendricks going to age? How is Baez going to age? How much money are you going to feel like you owe Anthony Rizzo, who signed the below market deal before and has been the face of the team through all of the winning? But I'm fine with Rizzo signing a contract elsewhere. I'm fine with Contreras signing a contract elsewhere. Bryce Harper is going to leave the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Like he went to free agency and he hit it. So I've never operated under the assumption, and maybe a lot of Cubs fans have, but I've never operated under the assumption that Chris Bryant was a Cub for life or Javi Baez was a Cub for life. I've operated under the assumption that Theo Epstein built the best core of position player talent in the history of the Cubs organization, and that the window to win multiple World Series was 2015 to 2021. I want Bryant and Rizzo to get another World Series before they leave, both their primes and or the Cubs, like literally leave. So I'd rather Tom Ricketts spend money now for a player in his prime. And then if that means you lose a homegrown player or two extra in the future, so be it. Get another World Series in the next 2 years.
Well, and your assumption is that you're not re-signing all of them anyway. Whether you sign that big free agent or not, you know that not all of them are coming back once they finally do hit free agency. So you put that into the equation as well. I'm with you. Like I thought all along that the years of Chris Bryant's control, the 7 years that they had, 2015 through 2021, that's the Cubs' realistic window. And you do everything you can all the bites at the apple that Theo Epstein likes to refer to it as and call it. Like, you do everything you can to maximize your potential to win a World Series in those years, because you know that after 2021, this roster is going to look significantly different. Your homegrown talent that you were able to work 7 years out of, and probably, I mean, you've already won a ton of games. You expect you're going to win a ton more in the next 3 years as well. You use that, and obviously you try to make the run during that, but you try to add the money, add the free agents, add anything you can to optimize your chances of winning in this final 3 years.
Texter says, if the question is Harper now or Bryant later, I pick KB 100%. The problem is that's no guarantee. Okay. So you're taking Chris Bryant at 30 instead of Bryce Harper at 26. And when you got Bryce Harper at 26, you'd be adding him to this mix of players. I'd take Bryce Harper now and risk losing Chris Bryant in the future, because I already think they're going to lose Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I already think they're going to lose him in the future, but I also think when you look at Chris Bryant, like, it's not last year, yes, the shoulder injury was different because of the slide that he had was in the third base fairly early on in the season, but he's also been a guy that's dealt with fatigue issues time and time again. I mean, the maintenance days off, the time off that he would take and in August, in September, he's a guy that's had a tough time staying that marquee type player, even in the years that he was technically healthy and wasn't missing extended amounts of time. He's been very open about that. When he's met the media, when he was a guest on this radio station regularly, he's been very open about, yeah, the fatigue setting in, just tired, wow, worn out by the time. I mean, the summer takes a ton out of him, and I wonder about, does that take its toll? What does he look like past 30, 31 years old as a professional baseball player?
312-644-6767. Tom Ricketts says there's no more money in the baseball budget, and part of that is because you want to save some to sign these guys long term. I'm not sure that I necessarily do. Your reaction to the money problems that apparently the Cubs have. It's McNeil and Parkins with Shep Ben on the Score.
That's a pretty easy question to answer. We don't have any more. The fact is that, we've
no more money for the Cubs. Who knew? Audio there brought to you by Credit Union One, Chicagoland's credit union. Credit Union One offers competitive low-rate jumbo mortgage loans. Learn more at creditunionone.org. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 384759. Each account insured up to $250,000 by members' choice. This institution is not federally insured. I said all along that I didn't believe it, that the Cubs were going to add, and now they've gotten to spring training. They haven't added, and the owner says there's no more baseball money. I'll be honest, it's upsetting as a Cubs fan. I believed all the reporting around it. I know money isn't infinite. They're not being cheap. Third highest payroll in baseball and the most they've ever spent on the players. So it's not about them being cheap. It's just about a bad plan. They should be able to, in this window, spend to make additions to this team, and they're not able to.
Yeah, they're not able to, and if it's... I thought something creative was coming this offseason.
So
I thought
I.
It was going to be a trickle-down effect of giving up on one of your core players, if not a couple of your core players, and your belief that they were going to be the faces of the franchise. I'm not talking Brian, I'm not talking Rizzo, but kind of that next tier guys of the Kyle Schwarber type, Albert Elmora, the homegrown talent that you'd heard so much about for so long and helped win a World Series already. I thought one or two or multiple of those were going to be dealt elsewhere, and some creative rearranging of this roster would be taking place. Not the case whatsoever. I can't help but think of, like, back to when Tom Ricketts took over this team. And he spoke about it a little bit today of the goals and the missions of this team being, all right, well, now we're very charitable. We're a great, great asset in the community. We're a great neighbor for those in Wrigleyville and for the city of Chicago. Back when he took over the team, his thought was, our goal is to win a World Series. First and foremost, win a World Series. Now, they've won that World Series in 2016. I'm curious on his to-do list of what the Cubs are to do, where winning a second World Series then falls in line.
I assume it's still high, because he could just pocket more profits and not spend the payroll that they're spending, right?
Right.
They don't have to be third in baseball in payroll. So I assume it's still high. I don't think Theo Epstein would work for an organization that wasn't giving him a ton of resources to win, right?
The resources are there. But say the Cubs don't win that World Series in 2016, and you're still sitting and waiting, and you're sitting on 110 years now that you're going without a World Series championship, does that change things about this offseason?
I think the Cubs does.
A bigger spender? Are they willing to go into the luxury tax to bring in Harper or be in pursuit of Machado, at least be in those discussions at this point? If they don't win the World Series, does that change the outlook and their plan free agent-wise now?
Here's what Tom Ricketts said back in the day about his goals for the team.
We have three messages. Number one is we're going to win the World Series. We're going to win the World Series by striving in every day and every way to be the best franchise in baseball. We're going to invest in the best facilities in baseball, world-class facilities where every player wants to play and every coach wants to coach. We're going to invest in the best personnel, and we're going to hold them to the highest standards of excellence and accountability.
I assume that it is still similar. I assume that it's still similar, but you guys are tools. It's non-verbal communication in a radio studio is beautiful. And if I was more of a professional, I went to Sold Yao. But I'm not, and it's President's Day, and we're here working.
I know you're not used to this type of camaraderie from Kansas City in your days there, but this is how we do things around here.
Welcome
to the score, Danny.
Okay, thank you, Tanny. I appreciate that.
I missed what his gesture back was. I gave him a thumbs up.
No, it was all sincere. It was like, yeah, Shep, I got it for you.
We can't do the Bash Brothers through the glass. Like, we try to set each other up and do the old Bash Brothers things occasionally.
Oh, which one to use, Fulton and which one's Portman?
Great question. Haven't decided that much yet.
That's okay.
We were thinking more Canseco and McGuire, but that's okay, too.
I was thinking Mighty Ducks, too.
It's all right. It's all right.
Dean Portman is from Chicago.
Yeah?
Fulton Reed was from Minneapolis.
I forget. There was a guy from Philadelphia because he's wearing the
Hawaiian. There you go. Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
That's one of those that I like D2, the Mighty Ducks, more than I liked the original Mighty
Agreed.
Ducks. I was a big D2 fan when they throw off the USA jerseys and they put on the Mighty Ducks uniforms and they go win the damn gold medal.
I like the sequel better, too, like when Emilio Estevez goes back to Sicily and kills the old mob boss.
That's right. It's the same thing.
Oh, is that Godfather 2? I'm always confusing those two particular films.
I know.
Great sequels.
Quack Attack is back. Jack, Julie the Cat Gaffney. She was brutal.
It's easy to confuse it to.
Yeah, it's the Cat Gaffney.
The Cat Gaffney, babe.
And Matt Caps, babe. But I do wonder that about
how you were
Cubs,
making a point. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm here for all of the D2 Mighty Ducks conversation if we want to get into it. But I am curious about
deep.
That. Like, I wonder. If the Cubs hadn't won the World Series, does it change how they operate financially, willingness to go into a luxury tax right now? Because it feels like, and I'm not going to act like I'm there every day around this team and around that clubhouse and around the ownership by any means every day or anything, but it feels like observing it that, yes, winning is great, and winning means more butts in the seats, and winning means more profits for everyone, and that's fine and dandy, and that's how businesses are supposed to operate. But is winning the ultimate goal right now, or is it kind of to cash in on some of those winnings while still being pretty competitive, but not necessarily putting every resource forward in winning World Series number two in this run?
Yeah, it's a reasonable question. I think that they're spending so much money that since you can't call them cheap, they're spending money to try to win. The other thing is they're also renovating the ballpark. They're also launching this TV network. They're not going to get as much from the TV network as they thought they were going to get because the bubble hasn't burst on live sports, but it's clearly changed from when the YES Network launched and when Cubs TV launched. So the dreams of unlimited budgets for the Cubs is not the case. They just have a better budget than literally 92% of the sport. And maybe the dreams were that the Cubs would be the Dodgers. You know, I think that was, they can afford anybody because they're the Cubs and they don't have the Tribune Company anymore and they've got the Ricketts family and they've got Cubs TV and they've got Wrigley, so they can afford anybody. And the reality is they can afford a lot of things. They just can't afford every single thing. More people will react to this and we'll decide if we've got a beef with Chris Bryant and, of course, more Mighty Ducks 2 breakdown because why not? It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.